From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Statewide support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by Satellite Technical Services, authorized distributor for the ACR Bivy Stick, a small two-way satellite communicator. Dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
A federal judge in Seattle has ruled that the National Marine Fisheries Service violated a key provision of the Endangered Species Act in 2019 when NIMFS published research on the harvest of king salmon in southeast Alaska and failed to address its impact on a small population of killer whales in Puget Sound. U.S. District Court Judge Richard A. Jones on August 8th ordered that, quote, an appropriate remedy, close quote, be found that, while it possibly could limit commercial trolling for Chinook in southeast, will more likely result in a rewrite of the biological opinion that led to the problem. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
U.S. District Court Judge Richard Jones on August 8th granted summary judgment to the plaintiff, the Washington-based Wild Fish Conservancy. The headlines that caromed around the internet spelled doom for commercial salmon trawlers in southeast Alaska.
I think we've won the recognition that this fishery was actually causing harm to threaten an endangered species and, for all intents and purposes, was illegal.
Kurt Beardsley is the director of special projects for the Conservancy and has been the driving force behind the lawsuit since its inception. The Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service in March of 2020, arguing the government failed to adequately address the impact of Alaskan king salmon harvests on southern resident killer whales, whose population in the Puget Sound area of Washington has dropped to critically low levels. The statistic that the Wild Fish Conservancy repeats most is that 97% of king salmon harvested by southeast Alaska trawlers don't originate in Alaska, depriving southern resident killer whales of their primary food source. Matt Donahoe is president of the Alaska Trawlers Association.
The Alaska Technical Committee says that less than 2% of the king salmon we catch are from Puget Sound. That's fish nerd speak for none.
The ATA intervened in the suit along with the state of Alaska. Donahoe trolls for kings in a 100-year-old wooden boat, catching one salmon at a time on a hook and line in a fishery that's meticulously renegotiated with Canada every decade in a document called the Pacific Salmon Treaty. Southeast Alaska's trawlers have taken steep reductions in their harvest allocations in the last two treaty rounds in the name of conserving stocks. Donahoe says the Wild Fish Conservancy lawsuit unjustly characterizes southeast trawlers as intercepting fish they're not entitled to.
The fish we fish on and have fished on in the troll fishery for over 100 years, and of course the native and the indigenous people here for thousands of years before that, are a mix of fish. They're from southeast Alaska, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. That's all regulated by the Pacific Salmon Treaty. Those fish spend most of their lives in southeast Alaska waters.
Donahoe says it's unfair that southeast trawlers have been singled out in the lawsuit when, in his view, there are far more significant factors at play in the decline of this small population of killer whales: the rapid urbanization of the Puget Sound area, industrial pollutants in the water, large-scale whale watching, hydroelectric projects. Kurt Beardsley with the Wild Fish Conservancy agrees nothing is the only problem, but he doesn't want to let trawlers off the hook just because the other problems aren't as well understood.
Everybody also wants to point to something else if they happen to get in the crosshairs.
The state of Alaska tilts more toward Donahoe's view that it's wrong to pin the decline of endangered species in Puget Sound on the harvest of healthy fish stocks in Alaska. In a news release issued the day after the ruling, Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang wrote, The state of Alaska abides by the terms of the Pacific Salmon Treaty and the biological opinion that is tied to it, and it is troubling that this ruling singles out our fisheries. We will be looking at our options in the coming weeks. In the meantime, Southeast Alaska salmon fisheries will proceed as normal. This is where the lawsuit will likely lead, not to a shutdown of trolling in Alaska, but to a better understanding of what's brought the population of southern resident killer whales, now thought to have around 75 members, to near extinction. Linda Benkin is a noted fisheries advocate in Alaska, an environmentalist, and a troller. She believes it's up to the National Marine Fisheries Service to fix what's broken and try again.
Bottom line, the agency needs to write a stronger biological opinion to back up their decision.
If the remedy sought now by Judge Jones should somehow stop trolling, Benkin believes it would be a larger loss than the Wild Fish Conservancy imagines.
The people who troll are advocates for healthy wild salmon, and that effect of their lawsuit is shutting down the troll fishery. They are losing a strong voice for conservation and a strong voice for taking care of wild stock.
Alaska Trollers Association President Matt Donahoe says he's got data indicating that closing the Southeast King Salmon troll fishery would accomplish nothing for the remaining southern resident killer whales. Again, he says these are not the fish the whales are eating.
It's just really discouraging. With all the problems we have in the world, you create problems like this.
Kurt Beardsley and the Conservancy want to see king salmon management overhauled and wouldn't mind returning to an earlier era when fish were harvested near their rivers of origin. This is a conversation he thinks they should be having when the U.S. and Canada next sit down to renegotiate the salmon treaty.
I think they've been too focused on allocating extraction and less focused on recovery.
In the meantime, although Judge Jones has granted summary judgment to the Wild Fish Conservancy, the case is far from over. The ruling steers the litigation in a new direction, and all parties now will submit briefs on a remedy that complies with the Endangered Species Act and preserves the Southeast Alaska troll fleet, king salmon, and the community of 75 killer whales that depends on them. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska's highest court said fisheries managers did not have to manage the Cook Inlet set net fishery to national standards, and that they didn't violate any regulations when they closed the fishery early. That opinion from the Alaska Supreme Court, published last week, is the latest legal blow to the 440 or so east side permit holders who have seen their fishery close early for the last four summers due to paired restrictions with the king salmon sport fishery. When fewer than 15,000 large kings pass through the sonar on the Kenai River, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game closes both fisheries entirely. Late-run escapement hasn't passed 15,000 kings since 2018. And after the closure in 2019, set netters represented by the Cook Inlet Fishermen's Fund sued the state in hopes the court would order managers to rework that management plan and others. It alleged the restrictions the state had placed on the commercial fishermen were unscientific and arbitrary and flew in the face of national standards. The Kenai Court said because there was no federal management plan for Cook Inlet fisheries at the time, the state was not bound by those standards. And it said the state's Board of Fish and Department of Fish and Game had the discretion to write and enforce their own rules. The Supreme Court justices doubled down on that opinion last week. John McCombs, president of the Fisherman's Fund, says he isn't surprised the Supreme Court affirmed the earlier decision. He says the state doesn't manage the fishery scientifically or to federal standards.
Federal management occurs in the Gulf and other fisheries, and they've just chosen to do it differently in Cook Inlet.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
In the filing, fishermen also alleged the state's dip net fishery is unconstitutional since it excludes non-residents from participating, which they say runs contrary to the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The Supreme Court rejected that claim in its opinion as well. It's the second court defeat for the Cook Inlet Fishermen's Fund this month. The Kenai Superior Court also rejected a request from the nonprofit to immediately reopen their fishery through a temporary restraining order in response to this year's fishery closure. In the August 1st decision, Kenai Superior Court Judge Jason Gist wrote the set netters face significant financial harm as a result of the state's plan. He wrote, quote, "Defendants do not contest this. Defendants assert, however, that they are obligated to manage all of the fisheries, including sockeye and king salmon, and that potential harm to the king fishery without such restrictions may result in a complete depletion of the fishery altogether," close quote. He said the low king forecast weighed in favor of denying a temporary restraining order and said it was within Fish and Game's purview to limit the harvest of one fishery to protect another. Set netters point to the repeated overescapement of Kenai River sockeye, which has been a consequence of the King plan. Set netters have also taken their complaints outside the court. At a meeting in Soldotna earlier this month, they asked Alaska Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang to use his authority to partially reopen their fishery. But repeatedly, Vincent Lang told the fishermen that those decisions are up to the Board of Fish.
The issues that we're all talking about around this table have been debated at length at the board. I got clear guidance. If you want that guidance changed, go to the board.
Fishermen were hopeful an out-of-cycle proposal to the Board of Fish could loosen restrictions on their fleet this summer, ahead of the next board meeting in 2024. That proposal failed in a close vote in April.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
Thanks this week to KDLL's Sabine Pooks.